Hello, this is Down the Back of the Seats. I'm Ellen, Cinema Manager at Campbelltown Picture House.
And I'm Alistair, a film and theatre maker from the Isle of Mull.
Alistair, what is this podcast about?
This podcast, in theory, explores what happens when public spaces and the public meet. We explore what's left behind, what's been found that's unexpected, and look at what stories there are to tell. So it's tales from behind the scenes at the cinema, theatre, concert hall, mosque, or wherever people meet, linger, and leave things or bits.
And since last we spoke, we've had Christmas, we've had the New Year, we've had a couple of weeks into January, even though we were supposed to start at the beginning of January. That's my fault.
No.
What have you been up to?
I have mostly been sitting on my bum. I've been just kind of trying to take it easy and wanted really to switch my brain off quite completely over Christmas and New Year, not being near computers or anything at all. And so spent a lot of time just with my family, trying to enjoy that as much as we all could. And it was really, really special. We watched one film from the past. We watched several films, but one film from the past, which has really marked me. I was totally, totally blown away by it. I've got vague memories of watching it from when I was tiny wee with my grandfather. It's an adventure movie by a Scottish writer called Where Eagles Dare. And it's wonderful. Oh, it's so good. Oh, I just, it's like, yeah, I really just love the, it's classic storytelling, proper adventure, and it's really stylistic in terms of its filmmaking as well, which is really beautiful. Yeah, I was absolutely blown away by the beauty of it. The storytelling is so much fun. There's twist after twist after twist. So yeah, the Scottish writer, of course, being Alistair MacLean, the writer of fiction and thrillers such as When Eight Bells Toll, which was filmed here on Mull, and HMS Ulysses about the North Atlantic convoys. So yeah, it stars Richard Burton, and Clint Eastwood, and a host of other people, and it is... Oh, if you're after a properly enjoyable film, it's so, so good. I mean, mate, Chris does t-shirts for films and things like that. So I've asked for a t-shirt from him, which is Broadsword Calling Danny Boy, Broadsword Calling Danny Boy, which is the radio call signs, which is cool. So yeah, that was one thing that stood out. How about for yourself?
It was a normal week. So cinema at Campbelltown Picture House is closed on a Monday and a Tuesday. Anyway, which happened to be when Christmas Day and Boxing Day and New Year's Day and New Year's Day and the day after fell. So we just carried on as normal. It was extremely busy, which is excellent. I think in the
that's really good to hear.
Thank you. Yeah, it was good. In the last podcast, I was saying that it's always a worry going into Christmas because it's a very busy time, and if it's not very busy, then you're sort of in that kind of concern that you haven't filled the coffers as much as you had the potential for. Christmas Eve is always a treat because we get all the staff in because it's so packed. And I'd made a little bit of an error with programming and had left the turnaround between...
You'd shown Schindler's List at New Year, hadn't you?
Yeah, I did. it was more of a mechanical error. The sort of the turnaround between the films in Screen 2 was just a little bit too tight. There was a sort of manic 5 minutes of trying to very politely get the audience to get out and clean up real quick and then get the next audience in. But we're all there, and it's always a great laugh because it's the gangs all together.
Lovely.
Having a really enjoyable time. And people tend to be quite jolly, and yeah, it's lovely. I think Christmas Eve working is probably my favourite time.
That's lovely. That's really cool. I'm so pleased to hear that. That's it proves that cinema and community cinema is, you know, it's vital. It's being together is so, so important.
It is.
Interestingly, watching films, I tried to watch quite a few over the holiday there, just because sometimes when you work so hard, you have to give yourself permission to watch things, even though, you know, working within film education and film and stuff, you still need to give yourself permission to watch things. And I finally caught up with a film which was massively successful. I'm not going to name the film. We've talked about it in phone calls together. It was a film I've wanted to see for a long time by a young practitioner, young filmmaker, and it's really, it's done so well, and the acting in it is amazing, and it's a very, very well made film, which is a total love story to the history of cinema. The way it works is absolutely beautiful, but I absolutely despised it. I just could not stand it at all, and I think I'm very much in the minority, and I think if I'd seen it in a cinema, I might have felt different about it because of the nature of the transfixing beam we talked about, you know, the compelling nature of being in a dark room locked in with a tight dramatic circumstance. Watching it at home on the couch, my wife doing a jigsaw next door because she found it too stressful, and then had to close the door because it was too stressful even to hear hear what was going on. It was a film about a relationship between a family, and it was... it was very, very dark, and not, you never see anything on screen. Well, you see one thing on screen, which is very sad, but you don't see anything distressing, but it's clear that something very, very distressing's happened at the end of it. And I felt, as someone who lives with depression and, you know, has had depression for, you know, the best part of my life, I felt that it doesn't add anything to the conversation around depression, and it really just tops up your sadness. There was no joy in it whatsoever. And I felt it was performative emotions, and I have a real problem with performative emotions in storytelling and TV and film and theatre. I didn't feel it came from a genuine place. I felt it was an exploration of sadness. But to what end? There's beauty in it, but the beauty wasn't enough to top up any level of happiness around that. And I felt so used by the filmmaker, as if they were performing their own magic spell at my expense. And I was really, really angry about this film. And I don't understand why people like it. I think maybe my own kind of, I think it's fairly clear I'm somewhere on the spectrum, but I can't understand why people would enjoy something which brings so much sorrow with little help or hope, with little hope. I just don't get it when it's a fiction, work of fiction that's topping up our culture, and it's like I feel really struggled against it because it's from a nation whose work I really follow and want to see grown out and develop. But at the same time, it was just horrible. It was a horrible experience. What would you say in response to that, Ellen? No, you're wrong. Obviously, is the correct response.
No, but... I don't think you're wrong. So here we have the problem that I find most of the time is that you're extremely articulate about talking about films and explaining your emotions, and I'm not. So. This isn't an argument, but you always win the argument because you're better at explaining things. However, I had the opposite reaction to you about the film. I thought it was...
Which is great.
I thought it was astonishing. I adored it. I was emotionally destroyed by it.
And what joy does that bring to you?
No, I know, but I've been emotional... But I get emotionally... There's loads of films that you get emotionally destroyed by and you love. Never Ending Story, Artax going into the swamp. Emotional. But that's part of being frightened, being made to feel joyful, being made to feel sad, being made to cry. These are all the emotions that we go to the cinema to be encouraged to feel. And sadness and despair is just one of those emotions. I don't think it was as... I mean, it was bleak. Of course it was bleak.
Yeah.
But I think there is hope. She's fine. She's okay, the girl. Mm-hmm. She's okay. She's explored what happened. And then she is dealing with it slowly.
And has her own family as well.
And she has her own family. And yeah, so I think that the hope is there.
But I don't, I just, it's a cold observation.
I disagree with the coldness that you felt about it. I didn't feel that coldness at all. I felt that we were right in there.
It uses the means of cinema to seduce you in. There's no two ways about it. And in fact, it does reference that references the exact teaching technique that I've kind of developed over time as well by referencing one shot. You see, there's a book sitting that I use in my own teaching practice, which is poems by a specific filmmaker, there, which I've used in my own work as well. It's like, oh, how interesting. That's clearly signalling this is my approach. And you can see that in how it's a cinema of sensation, no two ways about it, which works with the pre-rational mind, which draws us in. But I just felt it was technical. I didn't feel it was genuine.
I had the opposite emotions here. Do you think it's something? Which do you think we're great. Annoying people by not naming the film? Would you rather not?
I just feel that I don't think it's fair. I think it's fair to the filmmaker when they're an emerging practitioner.
I think the accolades that they have received is not going to be. But we're the thing. So I think we were looking at it from different things. So I was right in there as the daughter. And I think you were right in there as the father, because you've experienced what the father was going through, and I've experienced what the daughter was watching her father go through.
Yeah, I just I don't understand the impulse that created it. I just can't relate to it. It's very, very well made. I can, you know, the acting is wonderful, really impressive, but I don't get it. I don't understand why we have these things which are performative emotion. The actor obviously is inspired by real, you know, connections to his own emotional life. I think that's very clear. But I don't know. It just brought nothing but sadness to me. And I asked a friend who's also a father who'd seen it as well, and he said he felt exactly the same. But we are the only two people I know that felt that. Everyone else I've spoken to about it, who actually have all been women, really, really loved it. And I think there's a lot of discussion to be had about this without any judgment. Obviously, that goes without, you know, saying. I think it's a really interesting field to talk about the nature of audience reception theory. So is it like horror, in that we are, you know, horror allows us to have the experience of terrifying things but in a safe environment, but when so many of us live with depression and the struggles of depression, like, it doesn't, it just adds to the sadness.
I think
depression is sadness, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, obviously. Because that's the effect that it had on you, and I'm not wrong, because that's the effect it had on me. It's a difficult one to talk about intellectually, because the effect that that particular film and film like that has is either you're emotionally attached to it or you're emotionally distanced from it. And I can see if you're emotionally distanced from it, then it would be infuriating to watch that film. I completely understand your response on that specific film. But because it emotionally resonated with me, then I didn't see it as performative emotion at all. I saw it as an extremely accomplished and...
Well, there's no two ways about it. It is extremely accomplished. It's exceptional filmmaking. It's among the best filmmaking I've ever seen, especially from an emerging practitioner.
Yeah, but an extremely accomplished depiction of depression and of that relationship between a depressed father and a daughter. There was so much love between them, but it wasn't enough.
We're talking about After Sun. I just didn't like it at all. I admire it. I greatly admire it, and I can't wait to see what she does next. She's clearly one of the greatest directors that's emerging anywhere in the world. Absolutely brilliant. But I fucking hated it. Absolutely hated it.
That's okay.
Yeah,
I understand why.
Just didn't.
Really, I'll never watch it again. It falls into the category of films that I thought were wonderful, but I'll never watch again. I'm kind of trying to think of some others. Children of Men, brilliant film. Never want to watch that film again. Immediately can't come up with any examples, but every so often
that's
I'll
another
say
film that I felt just was. It's very well done, but it's like, oh god. I feel most Ken Loach movies I've seen are like that as well. It's like,
yes, that's a great point. Yeah, I'll probably never rewatch. I'll watch subsequent Ken Loach Ken's films that I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, Ken's maybe one to go back to.
No, because the bird dies.
I always get confused between the that ending and the League of Gentlemen ending for it, where he's got it on his lanyard or whatever, and it flies off onto the power line. And he's that's much more my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Shocking. I like this. I love that we can disagree on these things, and it does matter so much.
Yeah, what was the thing? We almost had an argument the other day, didn't we? Oh, no, it was fine. I've remembered what it is. Nothing to do with cinema at all. What else do we need to do? Oh, you haven't seen Saltburn, have you?
I don't want to.
Right. I want you to. Because okay, I want to talk about it. I don't think we're going to have opposing opinions on this film at all. I think I'm going to plant my opinion into your brain until you watch. No, I think you'll have the same opinion. Saltburn seems to have, it's absolutely blown up. Everybody is, for some reason, talking about Saltburn. I watched it. I thought it was a great film. We're not even going to get it.
I like Barry Keoghan a lot.
It's a great film, wonderful. But it's not the greatest new film ever. I am extremely interested to see what Emerald Fennell does in the future. I think she's wonderful. This film looks very much like a young filmmaker finding their feet, not quite getting there, but doing interesting things in an interesting way. And at some point, she'll sort of, you know, figure it out.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I keep seeing it everywhere.
What I've read about it, it's like, well, I don't really... I know the stories it's based clearly and pulls from and too closely.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I don't really want... Those are stories that are fine, but I don't, you know...
Yeah.
Meh.
There's posh people doing posh things. And...
Yeah, I'm reading Gentleman in Moscow at the moment, and I started off feeling quite meh about it because it's just, oh, the Count this, oh, the Count that, and sort of like, oh, come on. But actually, it's very good. It's a sort of tragedy of a comic tragedy thing. It's really, it paints the hotel that he's lost in very, very well. So, yeah, that's my recommendation of the week for reading. I'm also reading the Le Carré novels of Smiley, the Smiley sequence.
Rereading or first time reading?
No. First time reading. I read other Le Carrés when I was a teenager, but very, very much enjoying them. I'll be on the fourth one soon. I'm kind of trying to intersperse them with other books. And I thought the second one, which was set in a private school, I was like, no! Again, the class thing. I was like, but the third one, the Spy Who Came In From the Cold, is exceptional, absolutely amazing. I can't wait to see the film of that again with Richard Burton.
It's a late review, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Film's just coming out in 1962. Yeah. 63 maybe.
While we were talking about Richard Burton, what actors are ones that you just have to do an impression of? As soon as you say their name, you have to do it. So we've got Michael Caine, obviously.
Michael Caine.
Sean Connery.
Nicolas Cage.
Oh, right. I wouldn't have been. I was trying to think of women.
Are they all male as well?
Well, exactly. I can't think of a woman that you would immediately say their name and then go, for example, my name is Michael Caine, or
there is someone who talks like that, who's in the Zsa Zsa Gabor, maybe. But then actor is not really defined as an actor.
Right, I'm gonna leave that hanging, and we'll think about it throughout the week.
Georgia, my wife came up. Sorry, read something that Natalie Portman said, which I thought was absolutely amazing, just superb. She said, Natalie Portman said, you don't very often hear of female method actors. That's because they have to talk to people and raise children and be normal. And I was like, you are so right. I cannot stand the indulgence of
Oh, I fucking method hate acting. Method acting. It's,
oh, it's, just go and stare at Uranus with a mirror. Just awful.
It just fits into my just annoyance at any actor that doesn't turn up, do their job, and go home again.
You've got an audience. It's about the audience. It's not about you, you bastard.
Yeah. So
the theatre.
The theatre.
Theatre.
Just while we're very quickly while we're talking about books, because we've been wagging on for ages, you recommended me a book and I absolutely loved it. Could you just quickly recommend it to the audience?
It's called Lady Parts. It's by Dún McEachin and it is absolutely amazing.
It's about
Oh, it's about the realities of being an actor, a female actor or actress, in throughout the course of her career, and it is just. It's so it's astonishingly real and really, really important. I think it's one of the most important books I've ever read, because it just, you know, things are changing for women, but not fast enough, not bloody well fast enough. And also it puts into the reality of the pay scale and things so many times as well. You know, here's someone who I remember first time I saw her was when I was a student, so back in 1999, I think it was. And yet, you know, when the pandemic fell, she had to go on Universal Credit. So the realities of these people you've seen about and their lives is, you know, it's not all grass is greener on the other side at all. It's a very, very interesting book. And yeah, I recommend it to all readers. That's Lady Parts by Dún McEachin.
Right, I've got a whole list of things to talk about, but because we've nonsensed on for so long, shall we leave it here for this one and then pick up my subjects for the next one?
Let's do that. Thank you, listener. That was us kind of finding our feet again into the new year. We'll be back with more kind of things left behind in cinemas next week. Wherever you are, have a lovely, lovely day, and thanks for listening.